This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Smoke Slam Memphis. It's coming May 15th to the 17th, or so what, just a couple weeks away? It's more than just a barbecue competition. It is an immersive experience for the whole family. Going to have those food samples down there, cooking demonstrations, Ferris wheel, fairground fun, fireworks every night. It's going to be a blast down at Smoke Slam Memphis. Get there May 15th to the 17th.
Yes, this is next weekend. So it's coming,
yep.
Which means you need to get your tickets right now, and you do that very simply by going to smokeslam.com. They got VIP experience as well, and they've got three-day passes or single-day tickets. As John's told you, it's a family time, Ferris wheel, barbecue. Don't have to just be, you know, have an invite to the tents to be able to eat the actual barbecue here. And they'll have the pros out there as well. Meet and greet opportunity with Melissa Cookston. She's a 7-time world barbecue champion. You know all about. Have her sign up and give you tips. Southern Avenue, the MD, is going to be part of the music lineup along with country music giants Big and Rich. Should be a good time. Again, get tickets now at smokeslam.com. That's going to be a good time out there. And I hear that Riverbeat went very well, too. Great reviews out there as well. Typically on Mondays around this time, I pull out my Big Green Egg, pat out some burgers like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club when I was a bus boy. Moved up to Red Room waiter. But I season these differently than I did back on the back porch of the old Memphis Country Club. I season these with respect. In a world full of disrespect, let's do respect burgers. It's Ernie's stat of the night that's not sponsored. I'd referenced that a couple of weeks ago. You know, we're not sponsored. Ernie's proud of it. It goes back to, you know,
he's not paid for.
But it's all part of the bit now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so, anyway. We will continue to be proud. We could be prouder with a sponsor. We'll put it that way. Also, I have to reserve some time for John to get on the actual Big Green Egg with me, because while he typically waits till the end, I let him on when I'm done with the burgers, and he comes up with a nasty disrespect dog that he spits on.
Spit on it.
Right? Today, I want to reserve some time, and we know John sometimes needs his time, right? I'm going to reserve some time because John has said, there was a tease we got earlier in the show about something in Memphis that he has experienced. I don't think it was going to see sinners. We'll see.
It was not sinners.
But something,
although, again.
Something in Memphis has changed his optimism level in the future of this city. Am I overselling your tease there?
I mean, I think I'm probably the one who's guilty of that.
Okay.
But
I'm accurate
I'll deal
on
with
what,
the ramifications.
And so what I'm going to do, that sounds like a respect burger. That sounds like something good. And so John's going to have a respect burger. Pretty sure he'll spit on a dog at the very end. Here to start, Steph Curry. 22 points, 10 rebounds in that 103-89 game, 7 win. We talked about it. He is 5-0 now in head-to-head playoff series versus Houston. Perfect. And so he literally put them to sleep that crowd that he was doing the sleepy pillow sign to. He's done that to them five times now, never gone the other way. He also, like we said, registered lone double-double of any Golden State player in this series with the 10 rebounds. Oh, by the way, he had 7 assists last night. He had just 8 through 3. And so, as John said, when the Rockets got back in that game, cut it to 3, I'm like, okay, this is it. Steph's having an off night, certainly from at least from a scoring standpoint. Time to strike. Now even Jabari's hitting shots.
Yep.
And while it was Jimmy Butler, as John points out, at the thing there in the third, hit a real dagger there, helped stymie the momentum for Houston. It was Steph Curry in the fourth quarter. He scored 14 of his 22 there. Again, goes into the fourth with 8 points, finishes with 22, 5 of 6 on field goals, 2 of 3 from 3 in that quarter, and was tremendous in finishing off. Again, not just a guy who's standing out there shooting threes. Did you see what he did to Thompson? Sensing. Remember, Thompson had gone down earlier in that game with what looked like a calf coming down on a layup, and he was bothered by it. He was hobbled by it. And as the Steph defender on a couple of those series, man, Steph saw how it had affected Thompson's mobility, stepped him back like he was an old, like that kid was an old man. My point, the sensing of weakness, the finishing off, it goes back to what he did to France back in the Olympics, and he's been back at this level since they made the trade for Jimmy, and it rejuvenated him.
Yep.
It put him back here. And so he was waiting on, and while I'm sitting up here thinking through three quarters, he's only got 8. Oh, we got him right where we want him.
Yep.
Steph's thinking, here comes, I'm about to hit you with the avalanche. Right? You just, that's Steph Curry, who again saved his best for last in this one. Here it is. I mean, this is not just Jason respect level stuff. This is NBA history. At 37, he became the oldest player in NBA history to lead his team in points, rebounds, and assists in an entire series, playoff series. The oldest.
Yep.
It's older than LeBron. No.
Yep.
It's Steph Curry at 37. Now the oldest to do that. Imagine Steph Curry leading this team in rebounds for the series. Had 10 yesterday. It's unbelievable. Again, I don't want Golden State to win the championship because Draymond predicted they would. But if they did, my respect level for Steph Curry, who Kendrick Perkins said this morning, and I think he might be right, that if Steph did go on to win a title, John's already put the house down, baby, on Minnesota. I'm riding with John because I want to see this dead. I want to see the gas in the tank emptied. But if he did go on to do this and added a fifth title, and what would be, I went and looked, it'd be a second finals MVP. That was part of Kendrick's stipulation here. Win the championship, win the finals MVP, because he got one of those. You have to elevate him then to the GOAT conversation. If you are having a GOAT conversation about LeBron, then you better have one that's got Steph in it too. If we're going to have anything, compared to Mike, I'm not about to do. But if we're going to be comparing LeBron and Mike, this guy's going to have possibly 5 championships he goes on to do. Unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
As we've said, John asked if we could put my house down on this bet, not just his. I believe with John, it's over. But if he did that, John, how are we not talking about Steph as a GOAT? Not putting him above Mike. I don't even like doing it with LeBron. But we can't talk about LeBron in a GOAT conversation if Steph's got 5 titles and 2 finals MVPs, and he's done this now through different iterations. Even though Draymond's been there, it would have been through different, sorts of different sets, different rosters, different stars aligned around you with KD, Klay Thompson. You'd be going on a win without them. I mean, come on.
If I could.
Dude, at 37 is just unbelievable.
If I could, I would say, I think the other part of it that goes into that conversation is
change the game.
Steph's influence on the game of basketball is greater than LeBron's. I mean, that is true. Now, you could say that's for the good of the game, for the bad of the game, because of the 3-point shot, whatever. I mean, I could listen to that. But I do think that Steph Curry's existence has led to a more skilled game because people realize, I need to be able to shoot the three, whether you're, a point guard or whether you're a 5-man. I mean, he has completely innovated the game in a way that, LeBron innovated the game for himself because he's 6'9", 260 pounds, who can run the floor like he can. But that's not something that you could coach. That's not something that I can take and say, all right, I'm going to teach my team to do that. I'm going to teach my – LeBron's one of one. Anthony Edwards has turned into a three-point shooter because he indirectly the Steph influence, the Steph effect. And he shot 40% from three this year. And that was definitely not his game coming out of college and even the first few years of his career. So I think you take all those things into consideration, the duration, the longevity, the iterations the team he's done it through, and then the influence, the sheer impact that he's made on the game of basketball, bro. Very few have made more of an impact directly on the game and the way it's played than Steph Curry. I mean, like probably like you got to go back to like, you know, Will Chamberlain, right? Because like everybody realized, oh, man, I got to get like serious about big man, you know?
No.
Shaq. I mean, I think Shaq's in that category, but Steph did it in a very different way.
Yeah. I'm just, when you're talking about the sort of, I don't know, wonder of the world type level we've put LeBron on with his physicality, the fact he can do it this way, why are we not holding up just as high the fact that this guy's running, you know, miles in one game? He's 6'2", 6'3".
Yep.
Make him as tall as you want to. He's not 6'6". He's not 6'8". Point is, he leads his team in rebounds at 6'2", 6'3", for the series.
Yep.
In addition to points and assists. How is this little man running around the floor like he is still getting that many rebounds, getting more than the bigs? It's just that's wonder of the world stuff. I mean, the shape you have to be in to do that. And so as much as we hold up LeBron and taking care of his body, Steph should be held in the exact same regard, because to do that at 37 at his size, to be able to finish off a team in a game 7 on the road in the fourth quarter, put them to sleep the way he did, go 5 of 6 from the field, when you're at, you should be tired. You and Jimmy been carrying this thing. It's unbelievable. And so it's the fattest respect burger that I give him, still hoping that it's the last one he eats these playoffs. Minnesota, do your job. All right, moving on. Denver Nuggets have to get a respect burger. You put down my Clippers. I'm really not doing well here. I picked the Rockets and I picked the Clippers in those series. And they finish off the clip joint, my Clippers, 120-101's a blowout. Wasn't that close, as John said. They were up by as many as 35 in that game. It ended up being a laugher. Remember how Denver bowed out last year with John's man, Ant Edwards, really our man, Ant Edwards, ended up coming back from, what, a 20-point fourth-quarter deficit. They go home. They talked about exercising some of the demons. Now, that was round two. This was round one. But clearly, you know, a loss in that game 7 would have been two straight years of those kinds of losses. Would have absolutely been crushing for the fan base, obviously for the organization, even though you've changed head coaches. You'd be feeling a certain kind of way. And maybe the most impressive thing about it was something John mentioned. Jokic, he didn't have to do the 30 or 40-point triple-double. Mm-hmm. 16, 10, and 8, because every starter for Denver showed up. And they had them all in double figures. Christian Brown, 21 points, but also his defense on Harden was credited afterwards. They were not going to switch, and they had decided before the game Christian Brown's going to stay on him. And look at that 7-point performance from James Harden. He did have 13 assists, but he was bothered the whole night by this young man who, again, you neutralized him from a scoring standpoint, James Harden. They needed more from him. They needed more from Norman Powell. Credit again to the Nuggets. 72-40, we mentioned it, over the second and third quarters. Just absolutely took them out. You know, a team that had everything, you know, back in that series, should have put this thing away and didn't. But maybe, again, I was on the wrong side here. You cannot count out the championship pedigree of that Denver team, even with a different coach. You know, mm-hmm. Even with having moved on from Michael Malone, very impressive to see. And as we mentioned, Nuggets moving on to face a rested OKC team. We'll see how that one turns out. I don't do a ton of golf, but I know greatness when I see it, and that would be Scottie Scheffler. Brad was probably paying some attention this weekend. CJ Cup, he tore it up. His tournament total of 253, we already know he's the best in the world, but his tournament total of 253 this weekend tied the PGA Tour record for lowest 72-hole score, shared by Justin Thomas and Ludvig Åberg. I hope is how you pronounce old Ludvig's last name there. His scoring average in Dallas over the weekend, a course he grew up playing, 63.25. That is crazy for a scoring average. He absolutely blew the thing out of the water, and it's the largest 54-hole lead since Rory McIlroy at the 2011 U.S. Open. The way he 63 on Sunday, 8 birdies, eagled, only 2 bogeys, had a chance to break the record. He barely missed his birdie putt and not tie Thomas and Åberg, but to break it. This dude is as high level as it gets in his field. Probably doesn't get we don't talk a ton about him. We talked about he's not super charismatic. You don't want to listen to all of it. Just doesn't have that wow factor, wow factor in terms of the golf he's playing. I mean, it was absolute dominance, and it reminded me of the sort of, dominance we saw on a consistent basis when Tiger was healthy and in his prime. Scheffler's doing that now. He's doing this consistently and has, for a while now, been the best in my mind and clearly the best in the world. Respect to him as well. See, even in golf, if it's there, if you need that, I'm going to get you that. I'm going to find you. It's like the NBA, it's like the draft. We're going to find you wherever you played. Well, Scottie Scheffler certainly deserves a respect burger there. My wife, respect burger, she earned her master's degree over the weekend from Trevecca. Certainly deserving. She is now officially the smartest person in the house, certainly highest educated. English is a second language. It's stuff I don't understand only having made it the undergraduate track. So I want to shout her out as her son watched her get her master's. Respect her. And then, Brad, real quick, because you can chime in on this one, to my guy Buster Kelso, because I believe he got win number 1,200 over at Lausanne. We talked about him a little bit last week, and I won't go on and on here, but 1,200 wins. The Lausanne I've adopted as my high school baseball team because of our ties. Program director number one here and our executive producer, Brad Carson, has a son, Jake, who is like 7 foot tall now, throws nothing but heat. He is now we're back pitching, right, Brad?
We're back.
We're tied to this team because we have basically a son on the team. The show has a son, not just Brad. And I go back with Buster Kelso, back to Christian Brothers. He was guys super patient with me as a preps writer very early on. When I'm trying to figure out how the heck to cover prep baseball, y'all said I was covering football and basketball. I got to cover baseball too, and I got to cover goats like Buster Kelso. Oh boy, oh this is intimidating. And he never treated. It was Jeff that asked me about this last Friday. Actually, it wasn't on our show, mm-hmm. and he never treated me as you're going to be here for 2 years before you move on. I'm going to see another preps writer. Guy's just an absolute goat. And then another tie to, and Brad, you can correct me, co-coach Chris Mitchell? Is it co-coaches?
Yep.
Who I grew up with, attended Snowden, great baseball player always was, and both of those guys clearly have Lausanne in a place where would it be first state tournament trip this ever in program history if we make it this year?
Yes.
All right. And then Gagliano's all fixed up. Mm-hmm. I mean, great things for our links, and I say our links. But a big shout-out, obviously, and a respect burger right at the top for Buster Kelso and win number 1,200. Now, I hope that I have reserved enough time on the respect burger portion of this segment still, John. This is still the good part of the grill.
Yes.
Because you have something.
Yeah.
That ever since you said it in our first hour, I've been looking forward to hearing more from you.
Well,
I know what it is.
I hope it pays off. I mean, because there's not going to be any way to tangibly prove this.
I don't want you to mess. See, look at Brad.
I already know what it is.
Don't guess.
Yeah. Hold
up. Don't guess. You can mess it. You might mess it up.
No,
right? You don't want him to guess, do you?
I'm going to wrap up a piece of paper and show it to you. I'm going to show it to you.
No, don't show it. Don't show it.
It's not that important. I don't think. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it is.
He's already mentioned it on the show. You actually mentioned it, I think.
Yes, what I noticed over the weekend is potentially a renaissance, potentially a revitalization, and it came in the form of Riverbeat Music Fest.
Clip that up. John put the stamp on it.
And if in 5 years we look up and the Grizzlies have signed a new lease with FedEx Forum in Memphis.
You better have them this year.
And if the downtown area of Memphis is thriving under that guidance, and if Memphis as a city is in a better place perceptionally, I truly do believe that last night at Riverbeat, or the weekend, this weekend, with Riverbeat Music Fest will have been one of the first steps in doing that. And it's like, it's weird, like what sort of hits home for you, but a lot of my friends were there this weekend. A lot of my friends who I don't like, they have kids, right? They're older. They went down. Like Cole and Lauren Giovanetti, who are in their 40s, who I don't believe would be going downtown on a Sunday. This is just very anecdotal evidence. Like I didn't ask them if they could use their name, so I hope they don't. But they put it on social media, whatever. They took their kids down there on Sunday. to see Benson Boone, right?
It's awesome.
See Benson Boone. And I had other friends that I saw. Jessica Benson was there. I think Jessica Benson typically does support things downtown, but she was there. I saw some other friends that I know that were down there. A lot of 30-somethings, right? A lot of early 40-somethings. That may have otherwise like never have been downtown and never have been, you know, and maybe in years past they would not have gone. But I think what it proved to me and what it showed me is that, you know, forget the self-loathing, bro. Like, forget the self-loathing in Memphis that we do so well. When you put out something, a product that people are interested in this place, they will show. They will show. We have these existential conversations about the Grizzlies' attendance, about the Tigers' attendance. I don't know what the numbers were at Riverbeat this weekend. My guess is they were really good because they had Missy Elliott and they had Ludacris and they had Benson Boone. They had a bunch of other acts that people wanted to see. And they said, you know what? We're going to go downtown. And I wasn't there. I'll fully acknowledge. I mean, I don't have to be there.
You don't come out of the cove.
But I will say that I saw on Reddit people say that it was the most organized thing they have ever done in Memphis. Like people that live here, the people that have lived here for their entire lives.
Oh, that says a lot.
They said that this particular festival was the most organized thing they've ever seen in Memphis. And I am hopeful that this grows into a tour and a stop that people want to take, you know, whether you're from Arkansas, whether you're from Missouri, whether you're from Mississippi, like, let's make this a thing again. Let's make this a destination again. I mean, Bill Street Music Fest, when it was rolling, dude, we talked about it all the time, how amazing the acts were, you know? I mean, they'd have, you know, some of the best guys you couldn't even, you know, acts you couldn't even believe a performer ever. Let's get that back. Let's get that back. I think it's possible. I think we have something cooking here with Riverbeat Music Fest. And I was really pleased to see how, just from where I sat, how successful. I think this is year two of it. How successful it seemed to be, you know, from where I was sitting. So kudos to those organizers and to the people that, and obviously we did some advertising for them. And so I would say this whether we did or we didn't.
Yep.
It looked like it was a damn good time. It looked fun. Everybody that I saw seemed to be having a great time. And I think the goal, quite frankly, for Riverbeat, and it's very simple, is just get Jason down to downtown Memphis next year. You know, let's get Erykah Badu down there and let's get this thing rolling.
They got to get you down first. I mean, you did a great job again.
We'll go down together. We'll go down together.
You've had high praise for things today.
I have, by the way. All my friends were there, and I was shocked.
Brad's a 40, mid-40-something-year-old white dude.
Congrats to the organizers who had Benson Boone on the stage less than 24 hours after he had just been on Saturday Night Live.
That's huge.
That's huge. As timely as it gets, you're taking someone that just was basically in front of the whole world live the night before, and you're bringing him to Memphis. That's impressive because we've talked about it. These acts are old. These acts ain't timely. They don't have anybody on. You know, this to have that within a 24-hour period, him coming off Saturday Night Live is as big as it gets. And a lot of people that might listen to this show or listen from North Memphis, South Memphis, whatever else, that might have no idea who Benson Boone is, and I would, no, believe me, I barely know who he is. These folks are getting, you know, John says, yeah, Missy and Ludacris were all there. Well, also, they're pulling dudes that were just on Saturday Night Live the night before. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just gives you an indication of how high level this was planned out, thought through, and how high level an act they're, you know, an artist they're getting.
Yeah, so it looked like it was a great thing.
Timely as ever.
And I'm hoping that it continues, right? I'm hoping that it continues in 2026 and beyond. We need a success story in Memphis.
Bro, that mustache he has, though, it just throws me off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like, these are the kinds of guys you got to go get, right? That maybe he's not Billie Eilish, but he's obviously on the come up.
He is huge.
No,
So, yeah. Go get guys and people like that.
You got to spend real money on it, you know. And then I also they had great weather.
What does it cost to get Benson Boone right after Saturday Night Live? Yeah. Probably a ton.
A lot of money. You take on heavy risk on these, but man, they are doing it.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. Hopefully they got enough of a great reviews, John, but others that went too, and you know that this is impactful. People keep coming, and
yeah, it's Memfo.
Their work is rewarded.
These Memfo people do stuff right, man, and it's first class.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that it gets bigger and better. Like, I saw Steve Aoki out there; he was throwing the cakes. You know,
Well, I think it would be newsworthy then, aren't they? The folks that do Smokeslam.
Yes. I think it's the same group, right? Yeah, they basically
If we're talking about how well it was organized in those things, then again, an event that's coming up next weekend on Smokeslam might, you know, be an indicator of how well things might go.
Yeah. Got a chance, man.
People want to be on that river, too. They really do.
Yeah.
Despite all the crap you hear, like, the vibes are awesome when that weather's right.
Absolutely. So, well done.
Good story, John.
Well done to and a good turnout. You know, it can't be a story without a turnout, and it happened over the weekend. So, shout out to those folks for putting on something good in Memphis. And I'm going to be optimistic that we can do it again and run it back and get even bigger and better. Next year and beyond. We'll come back. Jeff Calkins is going to join us on the other side. Jason and John, 90.7 FM, ESPN. Jeff Calkins is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show. Columnist over at the Daily Memphian. Joins every Monday, and he joins us now. All right. It's official. Tuomas Isolo is going to be your 2025-26 coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. Do you think it makes it more likely or less likely that the team stays the same relative to its core with the hiring of Isolo?
I don't think it really impacts that, except that I suppose it makes it more likely that Ja is here. Right, I think Ja was going to be here anyway. But if you're, you know, in terms of signs that Ja is going to be here, the fact that they picked a coach who they believe can help unlock Ja and that Ja endorsed. So if you were not, you know, folks are out there were wondering if one of the reasons they thought the team may not stay the same was that Ja would be gone. This seat would seem to be a hire that would suggest that Ja will be here. So I think in that way, vaguely more likely that the team is intact, but I don't think it really has a huge impact on that.
In terms of moves, right? Do you think it's at this point, I mean, we got head coach in place now. Are we looking, I mean, Zach said we're not just one, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, right, but one seasoned veteran on the wing or whatever away. We know there's more work to do. How much of a different roster do you expect next season?
Not substantially. It's funny, that quote, Jason, it was an interesting quote to me because he said, we're not just one veteran, gritty veteran away, right? And to me, you could interpret that a million different ways. You can interpret it as meaning we have to do major surgery on this roster because we're not just one veteran away. Or you could interpret it to mean is that everyone wants me to go out and get a veteran. That's what they were complaining about at the trade deadline. We're not just a veteran away. You know, I don't need to go get that veteran.
Yeah.
Like, it could just as well. I don't know that signaled that they're going to blow up the roster. The reason that I think that they'll probably not do dramatic changes to the roster is, A, I think it's hard to do dramatic changes. And as we've discussed, if a dramatic change implies one of the three core players being dealt for various reasons, it's hard to imagine any one of those players being dealt for players that make the team better, right? Ja, because he's somewhat damaged goods because of injury history. Jaren, because he's going to be a free agent. People really want to acquire Jaren and have him walk out the door. And Dez, because he feels like he's overpaid for what he does. And so can you, I'm not ruling out the idea that they might not move one of them, but can you move one of them and get players who make you better? It's funny, I was listening to you all talk to Jessica Benson, because I'm an avid listener. And it was last week. And John asked Jessica, you know, what is it internally that makes you know it's time to, you know, make changes? Wasn't that the question, John? Do you remember asking that question?
Yeah. How do you,
how do you know that it's time? And for me, that implies that any of this is done in the abstract, that you know that it's time. You don't ever have to make a change unless it makes your team better. You know it's time to make a change when you can make a change that makes your team better. That's when you know it makes a change. When you get the trade offer. And so I don't think they're going to do anything for the sake of change. I think they'll do things if they think it makes the team better. And that we know different, some things are going to change. We know Luke Kennard's going to be gone, right? That seems likely. Santi needs a new deal. But the way that it works, like if Santi walks, you don't get all of Santi's money to just go spend on someone else. That's not how it works, you know? So could they sign Santi and then use him in a sign and trade? I think that would be very possible, that kind of move. You know, would you count that as significant? I do think they probably acknowledge that there are definitely things that this off roster needs. I think it needs a backup, a real backup point guard, and I think it needs some more, you know, that gritty veteran that Zach Kleiman said that they're not just one gritty veteran away. And so I think they'll make efforts to tweak those things. But I don't expect a major change, honestly. And then, I'm rambling, but I do, to me, one of the interesting questions is that how much just for branding do you sort of have to, you know, the coach isn't going to be different, right? So now, if the teams aren't going, the players aren't, does that matter, you know, in terms of creating excitement? Or does it really only matter, hey, if they come back and they're winning at a high level, that's what really matters. It's not whether they can generate excitement in the off season or not.
Yeah, it's quite the dilemma. Now, and the other point that I made, I don't know if you caught this, is like it doesn't matter. You could be the Mark Zuckerberg, the you know, Jeff Bezos, whatever of NBA basketball. You could be the smartest person that's ever picked up a clipboard, but it doesn't matter if your dudes aren't playing. So like we can shuffle these chairs and. I mean, Ty Lue's an amazing coach. He got absolutely destroyed in Game 7 because James Harden didn't show up again. So, like, to me, like, yeah, I guess it matters, but it doesn't really. What really matters is...
I mean, I think coaching matters at some level. But it is an interesting question, though. Like, what we've seen recently is, so Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history, right? Yeah, everyone says that. Do we really know that he would have been anything without Tim Duncan?
Well, I mean, he wasn't. Like, he wasn't.
Even, you know, he wasn't. Even as we celebrate him as being one of the greatest coaches ever, and I don't doubt that he was a good coach, without Tim Duncan, yeah, no, he wasn't. We know they lost a hell of a lot of games. So he wasn't. And honestly, the same thing, I do think we have a clear sense how much coaching matters in football or your organization matters in football. But even then, Bill Belichick, one of the greatest coaches in history. What's he without Tom Brady? Not so great, you know. So it is an interesting question as to how much all of this matters. Now we saw even in the small change from Taylor Jenkins to Isolo, we did see that matters the way they play, right? Like they clearly changed the way they played under Isolo rather than Taylor Jenkins, and that's even though Isolo only had literally two practices. He had 15 games he coached. In two practices, but they did still change the way they play. So I guess I think it matters. It very clearly mattered when they hired Hubie and when they hired Lionel, right? Those coaches changed the trajectory of the franchise. So I think it matters to some extent. And it mattered when they hired Mark Arvoroni because he was a disaster. So, but beyond a certain range of competence, I'm not sure how much it matters.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say, Jeff, that Zach sabotaged his own hopes for development for Edie by pitting the two? Because if you want to put that off on Taylor, well, then we can sort of go through that set of circumstances, too, of why he would have gone rogue. My point of the question is that in not doing this last season, and I was listening to Harrington, too, right? I mean, the hope was this was all going to work out. But you took Taylor's assistance out from under you, and then what he did... Sure, you can't control it, but we all understand why he did it. He's looking down the bench, and you've got his replacement there, a guy you certainly saw as capable of being the head coach here. And so in that sense, you have wasted time, and if nothing else, you stunted the growth of your top 10 pick by having a coach who was a dead coach walking, right, calling the shots. He puts him out of the rotation, Jeff. And we saw there was still more to get. Isolo starts playing him. The guy's engaged. We're seeing double-doubles. You know, 3 out of 4 games. And so does that not have to lay at the feet of Kleiman?
Oh, I suspect if you get Zach Kleiman to, you know, truth serum, that he wishes that he'd made the change last summer. Absolutely.
That's what he wanted to do.
He did.
Yeah.
And I suspect, I mean, if did he want to do it or did he, you know, whatever.
What,
I mean,
are you praying that it works out, that these two guys just play nice together, and then when Taylor moves on to, another job or something, you're just handing it over to Isolo? Like, it's some you got to have foresight.
Well, it's fine. I do think he could have anticipated it. But I do think that I do think that there's no question that he would have preferred the team wins 58 games and Taylor Jenkins still be the coach and would still be the coach this year. If he could vote right now, could I have had the team win 58 games and have Taylor Jenkins be, that would have been his preference. Now, did he set him up for disaster and make it impossible for that to happen? Yes, very possibly. But I don't think he was hoping that Taylor Jenkins had the team implode on him and quit. I don't think
I'm suggesting what you said, that he set up what was an obviously bad situation and one where you could risk losing the team. I mean, No, not praying that Taylor, you know, blows it. No, but again, having the foresight that, I mean, this is something that a seasoned general manager would have thought about. If I'm going to put in his replacement right up underneath him, right after I took all of his assistants out from under him, he might see Isolo as a threat and turn on me and not play my top 10 pick. I mean, like,
I agree. Listen, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened internally. I don't know who was tiered on who or whatever. It's very clear it didn't work. Unquestionably, it didn't work, and it was messy. And could he have? Should he have perceived that? I think that's pretty clear. He should have perceived that this was not going to work and should have made the change last year. And I don't think really anyone doubts that. And I suspect Zach himself would say that.
Yeah. Thank you. Talking to Jeff Calkins here on the Jason and John show. I join him on Wednesdays. Jason joins him on Fridays. So you will have a ton of us together.
And I am very grateful for both of you.
Thank you very much.
That you do that. I really get a good deal out of it.
You do. You get the two for
one deal, really.
You do.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Because you're the GOAT.
You know, I do think maybe, you know, there are some deals that Jason has around the building that maybe, you know, like the United States, maybe you need to get everybody kind of back to the table because you've been getting ripped off, right?
You've been getting ripped off.
And I'm just trying to.
Yeah. Maybe you want to be my agent.
No, I mean, this is something that you got to handle on your own. But let me ask you one off the beaten path question about Memphis. And I want you to tell me if I'm being Pollyanna-ish or if you think there could be a little smoke here. But Riverbeat, I don't know if you knew anybody that went to Riverbeat, the music fest over the weekend, but I saw so many pictures. I saw so many, nice things that were being said. And it just felt like, oh my gosh, like, is this happening? Like something happening in Memphis and like people love it and people are going and they're enjoying it. You know, we have these existential conversations all the time about the future of Memphis and the Grizz and the Tigers and the attendance and downtown and la, la, la. And here was this festival and I was thirsty. So I could be, you know, trying to see something that wasn't there, but it felt to me that there could be like a renaissance taking place as we speak. And if indeed it is happening, I think this weekend will be the first step in that happening. Am I crazy here? Am I going too far?
When you got into Renaissance and this weekend being the first, but I do think it's remarkable
Renaissance
that we have a lovely, successful festival. And that's like news, you know, like, but I agree with you. I had the same exact reaction. You know, people, there was a whole fight over that that park, and some people swore they'd never set foot there again. And then honestly, it's my understanding is it's an incredibly well-organized music festival, but not a lot of people went last year, and I went to the Mempo Music Fest this year, organized by the same people, and it was sort of underattended. And I actually wrote a column at the beginning of this year saying, listen, people, it's time, whether it's to support to see the Memphis Tigers play football or basketball or see the Grizzlies play or to go to downtown restaurants or to go to it's time to leave your homes and reengage in the community again. And I was thrilled because I perceived, as you did, John, that people went down there in large numbers and had a blast. And that is, it shouldn't be newsworthy. And maybe in 2 or 3 years, it won't be newsworthy. But I am certainly ready to celebrate that right along with you. I thought it seemed like it was a wild success.
How optimistic would you be feeling about Memphis basketball if they are able to get another year for Dane Danger and retain him with what they've got on the roster? Let's say they don't have P.J. Haggerty back. What do you think of that Memphis basketball team?
Renaissance. Absolutely renaissance. Now, I mean, how can you not? Like, they got a million guards now, right? It appears
Feels like it.
Every other day we're getting another guard.
1 billion.
And if you can just plunk Dane Danger, that Dane Danger that I saw at the end of the year, in the midst of all of those guards, the guys will figure it out. They'll sort out who's good, you know. And I will feel as optimistic about this team as I had in a long time, because I've seen Dane Danger. I see the damage he does, and I think he makes the whole thing make sense, right? And John came on my show last week, and he'd earlier I heard him here being weirdly but vaguely optimistic about the Dane Danger situation. Are you still, John, notably but vaguely optimistic about the Dane Danger situation?
I have not heard anything differently, so I cannot say that
I
do.
The way he said that, notably but vaguely, and it continues to remain the case.
Yeah, I have not heard anything differently. I mean, I think we're still waiting on the...
You're not outlining the reasons for your optimism. Oh. You're just expressing optimism, right?
That's vague.
That is correct.
But as you say, Jeff, very noticeable.
You know,
notable.
Sometimes I don't know what I can and can't say. So when I'm in those situations, I just err on the side of caution and say nothing.
But we'd close the door, John.
But no, I would say you should not close the door. I mean, he may get the waiver. I mean, there's a world where the NCAA says, look, all these damn waivers.
Can't fight it.
This is what you do. When it comes to that, I think either everybody gets them or nobody gets them. That's kind of how I feel about it. I don't think they're going to go through and just kind of say one by one, all right, what's his case? Well, that's going to take – it's like our administration. Well, we're going to have a million trials. We can't have a million trials for the illegal aliens.
They're stretched to the end as it is.
How much, by the way, do you think Dane's getting?
He's getting $2 million.
Dos millones.
A little more. Not a lot, but a little.
Good for him, man.
I mean, when you're a big man and you can pass and you have skill, you know what I mean? In this world.
A million just for tearing up Yaxel alone last year. And here's another million
exactly
for Brandon.
Right.
Yeah. I think that was I think Yaxel was used in the negotiating room, goodness. By the way. It was like, hey,
Yaxel, who's going to be drafted? That dude's going to be drafted.
What's Yaxel getting? I better not get a cent less than him. Because I beat his ass three times.
Exposed.
Not one,
man.
Not twice, three times on the mat.
He's negotiating with everybody now. He's negotiating on Jason's behalf. He's negotiating on Yaxel's behalf.
That's right. Well, Jason and Jason needs somebody.
Let me ask you this. You know, you negotiated your own radio deal. How'd that go?
Oh, it went absolutely horribly.
I thought,
it was like a helicopter crash,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm wondering. Maybe
Jeff
maybe
had
you
put you in his negotiation.
McGuire.
My radio negotiation remember this weekend when Trump said, maybe the little girls don't have 11 dolls. They have 3 dolls. And that's, they're like, how's 3 dolls for you? I'm like, fine. Fine. I'll take it. But that's why I have 73 jobs, as you know. Anyway, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you as always.
Good to be on.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
That is Jeff Calkins, host of the Jeff Calkins Show and the columnist for the Daily Memphian. We'll come back, wrap this up here on a Monday. Jason and John.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
90 FM, ESPN.
Oh, it's about that time. Mother's Day. Get on it. It sneaks up on you, doesn't it, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, damn. Didn't we just do this? Didn't we just do this like 3 months ago? I think it's because, you know, every day should be Mother's Day. You know, we should always celebrate our moms. But we do have a specific date set aside that's called Mother's Day. And that's for working moms, stay-at-home moms, stepmoms, grandmoms. Doesn't matter the kind of mom. They all deserve diamonds from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Buy mom those bigger, brighter diamonds during Mother's Day Diamond Sale that's going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Howie's got a bunch of great gifts for whatever the budget is, whatever you want to spend. If you don't want to spend a lot, he's got a perfect gift even for that. Robert Irwin Jewelers has a Pets Mom's gift. It's a diamond paw necklace. Starts at just $119. $199 for a To the Moon and Back gift set. It includes a To the Moon and Back diamond pendant and 24-karat gold dipped rose for only $199. You can go all the way up and get those diamond essentials from Howie, whatever it is, earrings, pendants, bracelets. The perfect gift for mom and all the moms in your life. Free financing, 12 months, zero interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. So he's got options on the gifts and options when it comes to paying. You're going to be smiling walking out of there because mom's going to be happy, and you're going to be happy that you didn't spend everything in your wallet. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Mother's Day sales going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com.
Brad went 1-2 over the weekend. He had Warriors minus 5.5, Nuggets minus 1.5, and Cavs minus 7.5. So he went 1-2, which I believe puts him as a loser on the year, Jason.
Mm-hmm. It was one game over 500 going
into
the weekend.
Now he's one game under. And I think this is a perfect segment to do today's Fade Brad as we get out of here. Only two games. Let's get you on the record, Brad. Let's go. He feeling good. Feeling like a loser.
Mm-hmm.
We got two games tonight.
Yep.
Boston hosting the New York Knicks. Boston, minus 9.5, even money.
I'll start with the obvious. The favorite's going to win tonight. That's not the pick, though. The pick, starting with Knicks, plus 9.5.
Curveball.
Knicks plus 9.5. Brad says, TMP, 2.
Listener Rob going to love that. Celtics fans going
to
love that.
Are you kidding
me? That's the theme.
Brad's going to let me back the Celtics. I'm in.
Do this again. Do this again.
On the Celtics, minus 9.5. And then game one of the Thunder-Nuggets series. OKC, minus 10.5, minus 102.
Same game, brother. Denver. By the way, Oklahoma City winning? Give me the points in Denver.
All right, plus 10.5, minus 112 over at ESPN Bet. Brad is going with both dogs tonight. Okay, I mean, I think it's probably a 1-1 night, it would be my guess, Jason, as these slates usually are.
Favorites are winning, though.
We call this the Helen Keller slate. Right.
Yes.
Where a blind, deaf, and mute person can go 1-1 or 2-0 even.
Yeah.
I like your Denver pick, plus 10.5, minus 112. That just seems like so many points.
Yeah.
And then I like the Celtics as the favorites here. I think the Knicks
even
are,
with all those points.
I think the Knicks are frauds, totally. I do. I mean,
wow.
I
mean, not the only one.
The Pistons are like the Rockets to me. It's like they're not ready yet. Like they pushed you, you know what I mean? Like I think that's kind of an indictment on you.
Yeah.
So I think when you see that step up in competition, Cavs went from the Heat to the Pacers, they lose outright. I think you're going to see that in that Knicks and Celtics series. We shall see on the Nuggets and Thunder. The Thunder have been waiting, man. They've been sitting there for like 2 weeks waiting. So we shall see. It's going to do it for us today on a Monday. Thanks to Jeff Coggins for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
On my podcast, A Spy With Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow A Spy With Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.